Hello everyone, Neil Patel here. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. Today I'm going to talk to Fahim Gill. He's the founder of Dashode. They're based in the UAE in the Middle East. And so Dashode is a platform as a service company built around a plug-in dongle which gives car owners like you and me access to new features like reduced insurance rates, accurate vehicle pricing and much, much more analytics. So we'll talk about how we got started. His time spent working for Honda, Toyota and in Silicon Valley. He's met some really interesting people. The startup scene in the UAE, experiences going through the Flat 6 Labs Tech Accelerator in Abu Dhabi. Fahim also talks about how to conduct a really cool design sprint for your mobile app in under 60 seconds, which is incredibly useful information if you want to help on designing apps and much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Fahim.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks for coming on the show today.
I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. And whereabouts are you calling us from?
I am in Dubai at the moment. Headquartered in Abu Dhabi, but I live out in Dubai.
All right, cool, cool, cool. Awesome. Tell me a little about yourself and what Dashode is, please. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, so I am engineer, spent 15 years in the auto industry with Toyota and Honda designing some of the cars that are on the road in the US. Some have made it to the Middle East. So anywhere from exterior design, structural design, did some connected car stuff like blind spot monitoring, millimeter wave design. So essentially that kind of had me, I kind of had an understanding of how the auto industry life cycle is for new vehicles. And in 2010, I got my MBA and went to work in Silicon Valley as a portfolio manager.
Okay.
So I made the switch from engineering to the business side of the world and realized that there's actually quite a bit of happening in the auto industry that is actually catered towards startups, and that's something I wanted to do. But the idea for Dashode actually started back in 2010 with a couple of friends from undergrad. Who are working with other startups, and we're going to do this on our own. But it seemed like in 2010, it was a bit early for the market. In hindsight, it should have been better if we started back then because it was actually a good time to start. But so the idea essentially started to make connected car technology as an aftermarket play. So we started with that in 2010, put it on the shelf. 2015, I really started being in Dubai, where there's a large car culture and a lot of people are actually pretty open to new technologies, even the government. I figured, you know, better late than ever, let's go for it, see how it goes. And things actually, we were founded in February of 2015.
Okay.
And getting through the red tape and what have you took us some time. In October, we got approval to start selling our devices here. And that's the time I got invited to join Flat 6 Labs, which is an accelerator program based in Abu Dhabi.
Excellent. So what actually is the product and how would I go about using it?
Yeah, so essentially it's a simple plug-and-play black box you plug into your car's mechanics port, the onboard diagnostics port. So what makes our device different than, say, automatic is that we have a SIM card that's embedded in the device that is connected 24/7. And from there, you can get lots of data. And we basically built a platform on which you can build various different apps, such as emergency calling. If you get in an accident, the device will call for help. So the way it works is you just get this device, you plug it into the mechanics port, and you're done. The vehicle is, when you power it on, the vehicle is live, the device is running, and data is incoming to us. Depending on the use case, because right now we're looking at the business-to-business model, for fleet companies, these guys want to have a dashboard where they see all the information versus a mobile app. On the consumer side that we're thinking of entering in the next, say, 6 months, there would be a mobile app that is a part of that as well. We're actually developing the mobile apps right now, but it's a question of what do you go to market with first. Right now we're looking at the B2B side.
Can you share any stats then since you started? How many have you sold?
Yeah.
How many do you plan to sell over the next 12 months, etc.?
Yeah, sure. We got approval to start selling in October of last year. We joined Flat 6 Labs Accelerator Program, and from there we kind of refined the product and made it for a specific market, which was the fleet management side. Which a lot of people are doing. The value add we're doing is we are actually doing it at a lower cost, but we're doing it in a way that actually it protects privacy for the driver and also gives the end customer or the fleet manager the information he needs. So because of this, what we're doing is we're going for a niche market within the fleet management side as well. So what we've done so far is we have pre-orders for over 1,000 units.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal for the first year for 2016 was 1,000 units. So
mm-hmm.
we already have enough demand for our product. The flip side of it is we have to sustain that, and we're looking to launch up our team so that we can actually expand and start selling even a bit more aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually meet the demand that's out there.
You mentioned a team. How big is the team at the moment then?
Right now it's just three of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to ramp that up, and that's basically our bottleneck right now.
Absolutely.
Normally for companies, I think maybe for startups, the manpower is the bottleneck, where mm-hmm. you have to have the engineers and on staff to really get this going. But the reality of the situation is the market is huge, and we anticipate at least 600,000 units mm-hmm. that we can sell in the UAE alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just, you know, touching just the surface of it right now.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, excellent. So you were part of an accelerator. What did you get out of it? And did the product actually change during that time you were in accelerator?
Yeah, both things happened. We got a lot out of the program, mm-hmm. Which I was actually surprised, because going into these accelerator programs, they kind of tailor it towards somebody who doesn't have much experience working, right? Like fresh graduates mm-hmm. or people who just have a couple of years of work experience. So I had a bit more work experience. So I kind of had the feeling that I really don't need to know how to do a financial analysis or financial modeling or what strategy one on one, right?
Yeah.
But the reality of the situation is you pick up these tidbits here and that become really powerful, that add to the overall experience. So I'll give an example. So we had Google Design Sprints come. Like, we did a Google Design Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that if you are, you know, doing an MVP product and you're using the same tool that everybody else is using, such as InVision or Sketch or Illustrator, that making an MVP that's like in the material design scope, if you read the documentation, you get it. But the reality situation, it's the experience you get when you're working in that environment that really is different than what you can learn online. So when Google came down, they had us do different exercises, which really, when you're doing it and competing against other teams internally, it does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So one example was you take this piece, like an 8.5 by 11 or A4 piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
fold it, I think four times or two times, and you get a 8 by 2 matrix. So you want to make an app. Say your listeners right now, they have an idea for an app.
Mm-hmm.
They take this piece of paper, fold it, take an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and you fold it once longitudinally,
yep.
then once horizontally.
Yep.
And one more time horizontally. So now, let's see, what do we have here? So I just did it here while we're talking.
So am I.
And I've got 2, 4, 6, 8. Yeah, I have like an 4 by 2 matrix on the piece of paper. Now what you have is 30 seconds to make a sketch for your landing page.
Yeah.
But they all have to be different. But each one you can't spend more than 30 seconds on.
Right, okay.
Right?
Cool.
So you read all this stuff about how to make a landing page, how to get people to, like, what's a call to action, this and that, right? But now you're timing yourself 30 seconds to make a sketch. You have to make 16, or 8 sketches, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
8 sketches and 30 seconds each. What ends up happening when you do that is you'll get all sorts of different ideas,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're doing this as a team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you have some biases and some thoughts on what you want on a landing page. Somebody else has it. But when you're timing yourself and doing this quickly, you'll come up with something that you were not expecting at all.
Excellent. Cool.
So this is kind of stuff that you would get in an accelerator, right? You don't expect to really, maybe some people expect to get a ton out of it, but you get a lot of small things here and there that help you in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So while we were part of the accelerator, we also had access to a lot more folks you would if you were doing a startup by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Geeks on a Plane guys from 500 Startups came down. And we sat with them and got to basically talk to these guys one-on-one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was invaluable in the sense that what 500 Startups does is they focus on, you have to have like an MVP, you have to have a certain amount of traction, and you get into the program and they really help scale it up. like one of the startups that came into the program from Abu Dhabi, they were able to increase their sales 6x in the program.
Wow.
Of 500 startups, right? And they were saying if they had a bit more a refined product, it would have been much more. Yeah. The point is, like, the Geeks on a Plane meetup gave you insight into marketing strategies, which are proven to work, that you wouldn't have gotten if you didn't have that access.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a ton of tidbits here and there that really, when you're done with the program, really differentiate you from the other startups that are in the local ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. What is the startup scene like in United Arab Emirates or Dubai and Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, so there's the two big Emirates are Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Dubai is the media and financial center, more or less. And Abu Dhabi, which is physically the larger emirate, is also the headquarters for the government and is where a lot of the government resources are. And we were based in Abu Dhabi, Flat 6 Labs is. So the ecosystem in the past few years has really expanded greatly. So I've been here 3.5 years. When I came here, there were a handful of startups.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd go to these meetups and you could basically meet the biggest startups there because there really wasn't much of an interest, right? But now it's like, I would guess, like everywhere else where startups are like the in thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing you don't realize is that it's not that easy doing a startup, right? It's like you take a financial hit when you do a startup. Like, even though we have funding, it's like if you, the opportunity cost of doing a startup versus working for corporate, you almost nine times out of ten you're going to be better off if you're working in the corporate environment.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that is the mindset, right? The mindset's always been that everybody works in the corporate environment and that's where you'll be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But now on the other side of the coin is there's a lot of people who are interested in doing a startup because they think, well, they could be that 1 out of 10 that's going to really, you know, hit it big.
So what are you actually working on right now then?
I can't say. It's something that's in the connected car space.
Yeah.
But it just came about, I would say, in the past week.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what we can talk about is we're doing driver behavior analytics for the shared community, right? Like the Ubers of the world and the Kareems of the world.
Yeah.
These guys, they have their own drivers and they want to get feedback on how they're driving. So we can help with that. So that's something we're doing right now. But there's a couple of things we're working on that are actually going to take that to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. I've been to Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and the driving's really bad. I mean, what do you think that is?
Yeah, I think statistically, it's actually one of the safer places to drive.
Right.
UAE is one of the safer places. I think it's like 106 in the UNHCR stats.
Mm-hmm.
In safety, so it's actually relatively safe driving here compared to, say, other places in the Middle East like Saudi Arabia, and I've heard Egypt is pretty bad, and Lebanon's pretty aggressive also. So basically, the driving behavior here is just a subset, I guess you could say, of habits. Because, for example, like with Dubai and the UAE specifically, 80% is expat community.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the stats of who has most of the accidents and fatalities,
mm-hmm.
number one is India, number two is Pakistan.
Okay.
Right? So regionally, UAE is safe, but it's relatively safe. But when you start looking into the data, actually, India, there's some bad driving habits coming out of India.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess, and I don't know, I've never been to India, so I don't know, but from the photos I've seen, it seems like there's a lot of congestion in the urban areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people don't really drive fast. So your reaction time in a place in India where it's congested and you're going 30 miles an hour, you can react slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But say when you come out to the UAE where speed limits are 120 kilometers and people are driving faster, you have to react quickly and you have to actually anticipate what's going to happen before it happens, right?
Yeah.
So because of these situations, you have drivers from all over the world coming here and they have different driving habits. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is normalize those driving habits and help create a better driving behavior and experience for mm-hmm. for expats specifically.
So do you think this will like lower costs when it comes to like insurance as well, if they have this device?
Yeah, so that's the one thing. Insurance in the UAE is actually really high. In Saudi Arabia, it's really high when you compare it to the UK, the US. Like, for example, it'll cost on average about $1,100 to insure a vehicle in the UK. Mm-hmm. So you insure the same vehicle in the US, it's about $1,300 for the same benefit, the same plan, right? Mm-hmm. That same vehicle is about $2,300 in the UAE and about $2,400 in Saudi Arabia. So when you look at reducing the insurance costs, there is data that says you can do it, and you might reduce your top line revenue for an insurance company, but your bottom line income will go up because your net income is going to increase because the cost of repair and claims will be going down as you make these drivers better. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what we're going to be working towards in the future, mm-hmm. is to help reduce the overall cost of it in the UAE and eventually the Middle East.
Cool. So let's talk about you then. What takes up most of your time then on a day-to-day uh-huh. basis?
Mostly it's just managing the team and trying to close some deals. So mm-hmm. this is one of the areas when you're a startup, you are essentially just going full time all the time. Mm-hmm. So you don't have time to really look for all the different, you know, productivity tools that can help improve your work environment. Like, I'm using the same like methodologies that I use at Toyota, essentially they taught me at Toyota, which were like the lean engineering tools that most people don't even know about. Mm-hmm. And they can help you get far with the lean team. Mm-hmm. But I don't use all the all the latest apps and products that are used by other startups, right? Mm-hmm. We've looked at them, but at the end of the day, using the Toyota methodology actually works pretty well. But given that type of environment, I do have to manage the engineering team and also go out there and source new business. And so those are two aspects that take a lot of my time. Mm-hmm. The third aspect would be just regulatory issues. Make sure that all the legal issues are handled. So, mm-hmm. but that Excellent. Doesn't take up too much time.
Excellent. You mentioned Toyota. Did you work on any interesting projects during your time?
Oh, yeah. So prior to it, I was with Honda, and Honda probably was more exciting.
Okay.
But they both had exciting projects that I worked on. Mm-hmm. At Honda, where I started, I worked on the current generation Acura MDX, which I don't think is sold in the UK. I don't think it's sold in India either. But at Honda, they really encourage you to become the best engineer. So they encourage you to do all sorts of things that you want with their product. So I joined their rally team, and so I started off as a co-driver for Honda's rally team, and then eventually moved to the driver's seat. At the last race I did with Honda, there was actually I think two fatalities.
Wow.
And I decided that I need to do something else, so I joined Honda's motorcycle race team.
Okay.
so that was a lot of fun. But then after that, I got recruited by Toyota. I went to Toyota and I worked on the Toyota Venza.
All right.
Okay. Toyota Avalon. The Avalon I worked on actually sold in the UAE, so I see it here every now and then. Mm-hmm. And that was the last part of the Avalon was exterior design for the front. But while I was at Toyota, that's when I was doing the connected, or at Honda, when I was at Honda, I was doing some of the connected car stuff with milliwave radars. And one thing that might be of interest would be that when I was leaving Toyota in 2010 to go to Palo Alto to work in banking, the project I was going to work on was going to be the Tesla RAV4. So it was going to be the Tesla EV in a RAV4. Mm-hmm. And I decided I need to try something different, because after you do the same type of work for so long, you kind of need to try something different to challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. So I moved out there and tried doing some pretty interesting things there in the banking side. But at the end of the day, I wanted to create something, so I decided to get back into the engineering side. Mm-hmm. And hence, I'm back in the automotive space with Dash Road.
Do you think the Tesla will take off around the world then?
I'm sure it will. That's the one thing that's really interesting is that the entire auto industry is changing now, because you've got Faraday Future coming in. Tesla has basically proven that electric vehicles can work. So now Faraday Future is coming. VLF just said they just have started working on a prototype. So back when the auto industry first started, you had a ton of small motors companies or engineering motors or vehicle companies that were popping up everywhere, and that same thing is happening now. So essentially, it's almost like the internet. When the internet first started, that's what's happening in the auto industry. Mm-hmm. So Tesla seems to be the poster child for that. But there's actually a lot that's going to happen before Tesla or the electric vehicle or autonomous vehicles take over the world. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially the play we're working on. If you can imagine a world where you have autonomous vehicles, the entire infrastructure for the roads will change, the entire way you insure a vehicle is going to change. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to change when it comes to transportation if you have autonomous vehicles. Mm-hmm. For startups, there's tons of opportunities. Yep. So we are positioning ourselves to be in that space. Before autonomous vehicles, you need to do a ton of stuff in the infrastructure. And that, essentially, that's what Dashroad is doing. We're starting off with something small, and we're going to build upon that.
Sounds exciting. Last couple of questions, then. What books or blogs do you read? How do you keep on top of information?
Under 500 pages is Why Nations Fail.
Okay.
So that's actually a really good book, because it tells you the history of how countries have fallen and how they've come out of nowhere. Essentially, it's like an accelerator. There's a lot of tidbits you can pick out of it that can help you in the startup world. Mm-hmm. So I'm halfway through with this book. In terms of blogs, I really don't read too many blogs. Mm-hmm. Wanda, which is like TechCrunch for the UAE or for the Middle East, I read that every now and then, but mostly the main thing I do is just hang out on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And just on Twitter, I follow like TechCrunch, Mashable, Wamda, and just a few influential folks. Like, while I was in Silicon Valley, like there are some folks I knew there that have now started doing quite well, and mm-hmm. just follow these guys. So mm-hmm. more or less,
talking about Silicon Valley. Who was the most interesting person you met
while I was there?
Yeah.
That I can share would be
drop a few names. Come on.
Well, you probably don't even know them. That's the thing.
Oh right, okay.
So the one guy was I'm forgetting their names now because you put me on the spot. But
what was it? What was it about this person that was amazing?
Sahil. He's the guy who started Gumroad. So
I use Gumroad.
He was like 18, 19 at the time, and it was just, I was looking for some stuff done, and he knew some folks I knew, so just kind of, just exchanged some messages here and there, and he's done well since then. Mm-hmm. Another guy was, here's a good person, Jeff Lawson, who's the founder of Twilio.
Okay, he's Twilio, that's cool.
So he's an alum, and yeah. I went to the University of Michigan, and they flew us out while we were in grad school just to hang out and get to know more alum. And he came in wearing a backpack and looked like a regular student, started chatting with him. And then he says, well, he's working on telephony services. I don't remember exactly what he said, and ended up that he was running Twilio. And I didn't know anything about Twilio at the time. So when I started looking into it, I just realized that this seemed like it would be pretty interesting thing, but the thing that was interesting was the first startup that he did, I knew about that one, which was, I think it was like Varsity Books or Versity Books, something like that, that had to do with selling books online. So I knew about that. Then he started working at StubHub. So once he started telling me all this stuff, I realized that he was actually not just an alum or just a guy wearing a backpack. He was actually somebody that's done some pretty interesting things.
What's the best advice you've received so far?
Best advice. The one I keep on hearing all the time is if you have to fail, fail quick and pivot. Mm-hmm. I would say that's the most consistent advice I've heard, because advice is one of those things that if you know what you're doing, or if you feel comfortable doing what you're doing, just go for it. Because everybody will give you their opinion, but at the end of the day, you're the one in charge, right? So if it fails, it's on you. If it does well, it's on you. The advice is just secondary. But one of the advisors or mentors from Flatsix Labs, what he told me was, at the end of the day, all investors, you go to are going to look for the bottom line. Like, how much are you going to grow, or how much are you going to make them? And that might be a mindset for the UAE investors, but it's one of those things to keep in mind is focus on making revenue. Don't focus on growth.
So last question then, for people who want more information on Dash Road and yourself, what must they do? How will they connect with you?
Probably best is Twitter, just at Dash Road, DASHROAD, and it's probably the best way to connect with us.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Fahim, for coming on the show.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I really appreciate it. I'm off to do a Google design sprint now.
All right, great. Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you, Fahim.
All the best. Bye.
So that's Fahim, and if you'd like to know more, you can go to his website, dashroad.com. That's the end of the show. If you liked it, please leave a rating and review of the show. Just search for the Indian Startup Show on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Instacast, Podkicker, Downcast, and now we're on Apple TV. So if you have any feedback on the show, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, tweet at IndianStartupSH, or go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Would love to connect. Thank you, and speak to you next week. Bye.